Welcome to season 3 of the Refuse Ordinary podcast. I'm your host, Tamara, and I'm so glad you've decided to join us on this journey of discovering who God is and who we are in Him. This season, we'll be doing things a little different. Instead of a regular interview format, we'll be giving you special access into the classes of our full-time School of Transformation. These classes will cover a broad spectrum of topics in our School of Transformation curriculum, such as living in the reality of eternity, Jesus' teaching on heaven and hell, and friendship with God, just to name a few. Let's refuse ordinary together. Our first topic is called Friendship with God, taught by Lisa Kelly. We hope you're both encouraged and inspired as you listen to this lesson.
Today we're talking about friendship with God. This is one of my favorite topics, one of my favorite teaching topics, and just life topics, and one of my favorite parts of Christianity is what this has been, is getting to know Jesus. I grew up in the church, as I've told you guys before, knowing the Bible stories and knowing theories. But this is what has really brought it to life for me, is my interaction with Jesus and getting to know who He is, outside of just, these are the rules that He says, and having it go deeper so that I actually know why or what's on His heart. All right, so first and foremost, John 15:14, you are my friends if you do what I command. We can't get around this. We can't do this outside of what He says is true. There's no getting around this. There's no, it's okay, we're cool. Like, I never do anything that He says, but He gets me, you know. Now that sounds funny, but actually if you, you don't have to look very far to find people that talk that way, because it feels true. Just like, He understands me so much that, like, He doesn't even mind the compromise in my life, because He knows that He made me this way and He gets me, you know, so it's fine. So therefore, we have a friendship, so we're cool. But He says, He Himself says, you are my friends if you do what I command. Can't get around this, right? That has to be in the foundation. Absolutely has to be. And so does this mean that He doesn't talk to you till you're perfect? No, it doesn't mean that. But at the same time, talking with Him will produce change in your life, and it will include conviction, and it will include becoming more and more holy all the time. And so if you're not on that page, if I'm not on that page, then my friendship with Him will actually be very shallow, because it has to be His definition and not just mine. We're friends because we watch movies together. No, it's deeper than that. And if you read the whole thing, it really puts it in a really good context, Vine and the Branches. The expectation remains obedience, but the heart position and relationship of a friend versus a slave is significantly different. Okay, so why we obey? If you are obeying someone who's distant, who you don't know very well, versus obeying someone who you are madly in love with, totally different. Right? Am I just a servant that He doesn't really know, but, you know, He tolerates me because I'm obeying and that's kind of it? Or do I understand His heart, and I've talked to Him already a bunch today, and I'm going to keep talking to Him the rest of the day, and I'm understanding Him more and more and more all the time. And that produces greater obedience in me, because now I start to care about the things that He cares about. And I start to talk the same way He talks. And I start to look at people the same way He looks at people, that kind of a friendship. One of the sayings about friendship is, show me your friends and I'll show you your future, right? That is just kind of, unfortunately, but fortunately, so true. You just start, after a while, you know, you have your people, you end up laughing at the same things after a while, right? And you kind of get each other and you develop a culture, and it has a significant impact on your life. Friendships have a significant impact. Lack or having friendship, no matter what it is, it does impact your life big time. You know, we're going to have fear of man classes coming up. You know what affects that the most? Friendship. Because we can say all day long, I don't care what that person thinks. You know, some random stranger on the street, I'll do whatever. I don't care if I embarrass myself in front of them. What about your close friends? That's where it's difficult, you know, to decide something different. Anyway, we talked about that in keys to intimacy last time. So anyway, friendship makes a big difference. Loving people how he commanded shows us his heart so we get to know him. It puts us in a position to hear his voice, and it helps us settle into who he made us to be. That healing helps us become more comfortable with intimacy. So it's a really cool thing that you get to know, actually. Again, if you look at the whole picture, John 15, vine of the branches. You know, and those who love me, obey me, and all of those really clear things. Oh, there we go. All of those things, you see that as you obey Jesus, it does really deepen your friendship. It does really affect it with him. Because then you see what he cares about. You see how he talks more. You see why he cares about people. All that stuff, you get to know him, and it actually deepens your friendship. That obedience, it doesn't draw you apart. Now, the world would have you believe that obeying Jesus actually creates distance because, he just wants something from you. He just wants to use you. That's why he's telling you to go do these things. And you don't find out that that's not true until you just start participating in that. It's like, oh, wait, he's always calling me into loving people. He's always calling me into being kind to people. He's always calling me into being generous. And also, when he's talking to other people about me, he's always calling them into helping and encouraging, certain people challenging, certain people disciplining, but all of it towards me. Oh, that's what he's like. That's what he cares about. Because he would never ask someone to do something that he doesn't want, right? So you actually can get to know him more and more and more in this obedience. It is part of a friendship, and you get to know his heart, and it really changes why you obey and how you obey as well. All right, so here's an overview of what we're going to go through today. First and foremost, he does want a relationship with you, okay? We're talking about reading the Bible, learning to hear his voice, staying connected to community, and making it personal to you. All right, so he wants a relationship with you. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, who was the joy set before him, or what was the joy set before him? It's only the only thing that he didn't have yet, the joy set before him, would be us, right? It can't be, oh, finally I'm going to be in heaven. We could have just stayed in heaven. If that's all he wanted, it was heaven. He didn't have to leave it if that's all he wanted, but he wanted us. The joy set before him, us being close to him, our redemption, so we actually would be able to spend eternity with him, right? He wants relationship with you. Connection with you is important to him. If we don't believe this, we won't pursue close relationship. So this is often where parent stuff tends to come into play, all right? So this is hard to even want to participate in if we're expecting that he just tolerates us, that on the very best day, at the very best moment, the best that it can be, is that he puts up with us because we're technically obeying. Oh, okay, I can't smite them right now because they are helping an old lady across the street. Fair enough. And if that's as good as it gets, then we won't even try. And actually, it's the same with people, right? Is if we don't think that they would even like us to begin with, how much effort are we going to put into that? How much are we going to want to even risk? Because it feels like a huge risk. Right? If we're expecting to be rejected in any way, if we're expecting that he can't even really have a relationship because he's so other, he's so different, he's so holy, and we're so not, that who even knows what that connection would look like anyway? Really, maybe it only can be we obey him. And so if it looks like that, we're not going to put effort into it. We're not going to put ourselves out there. We're not going to participate with our whole heart, not just checking a box. Right? And so this is something to look into and to be aware of and to allow him to heal, to allow him to reveal to you. And I can't tell you how many times he's had to do this with me. Even like some of the healing he's done in my heart and even continues to do, because it's, you know, the enemy will try things. If they've worked before, he'll try them again. Let's say there's a party somewhere. If I just bring food to it, that is literally just as good as if I were there too, because that's the only good part about me participating in something is that I brought really good food to it. And it's that's the value. So me being there, me not being there doesn't make a difference as long as the food is there. Or going to a party or whatever, as long as I bring a really cool birthday gift that they're gonna like, as long as that makes it, whether I'm there or not, doesn't change the value at all. And so I've really had to work through that a bunch of, of just, do I have value as a person? And me and Jesus really developing that, him healing that in me. And so I want to encourage you guys to have this file folder open. Not that you have to go digging. We talked about this before. You don't have to go digging for it. But let Holy Spirit talk about it if he wants to. Hey, you know when this person made this comment? It's actually affecting our relationship now, because we project people's stuff onto him all the time. Without meaning to. Most of the time without meaning to. It's just very natural. And that's what I mean about the parent stuff coming in. It didn't feel like your parents wanted a relationship with you. Very, very likely it won't feel like God wants a relationship with you. But the problem is that your brain knows that that's the right answer. So you can still say, yes, I know that. Yay, hooray, hallelujah, it's all good. But I want to encourage you guys, in school time is a great time to skip that for a second and just right in, right into the heart. What do you actually feel is true from him to you? What's actually there? Is there a filter? Is there a wall? My dad never said this. My dad always said that. This is a safe place to sort that out, not to dishonor them, but to just get the freedom from the pain. That's the part. And again, okay, because this is going to come, this is for free, because this is going to come up many more times. Sometimes it's really difficult to go into inner healing about parents' stuff because you see that they tried their hardest. They really did. And there's so many honorable things about them. So it feels dishonoring to say, I wish that you would have come to my games more. I wish any of that stuff. It feels dishonoring to say. But really the heart is, once you get the pain dealt with and processed, you actually can honor and love them way better. That's where we're going. It's not, yay, I'm finally free from them and I can say whatever I want. Yay, I'm healed. That's not even where we're going with that. It's actually, sometimes the pain creates stuff that holds us back and keeps producing bad fruit. And so before that's been dealt with, anyway, so that may come up with this. Does he want a relationship with you or not? And why does he want a relationship with you? Just to use you? Just because he wants you to work for some reason? Because all he wants is work and that's it? Or because then finally you can go and save the people that he actually cares about? Once you're saved, once you're with, okay, whatever, we don't talk that way. Once you're a Christian, once you're a professing Christian, then he kind of, now he's after everybody else, right? That's what he wants. And now he's just using you to get to them. He's just using you because then you can be a missionary and go help. There's all kinds of weird little theological things that develop out of people filter stuff. So that's the problem, is that it's so close to true.
Yeah.
That is way harder to catch than anything. It's this weird, and it happens very subtly over a long amount of time.
Yeah.
So it will never feel totally wrong in the moment, and it will feel weird to even say that's a problem, because as you hear yourself say it out loud, it sounds true. That is what false religion tastes like. Yeah. It's slippery and you can't quite pinpoint it.
Yeah, it's
just a little bit off. But you do that for 30 years?
Right.
Okay, because there is enough truth in there, right? But he's not going to take away that truth. He's going to strengthen it and make it real and pinpoint. He's the hound of heaven that's going to go after what's not right. And I've just decided I'm completely okay with being a crazy person that's going to describe things that don't quite make sense. That's all right. That's all right. The rest of my days, 1% of people might understand it, and those people are going to get free, and it's going to be wonderful. That's totally fine. That's what false religion tastes like. Is it feels really normal in the moment. So we're going to let him just blow that apart, except that he doesn't do it that way very often. He's kind. So, but let him open this up so that we can have deeper, real relationship with him. Why does he want friendship with you? Why? Does he want to work through you? Of course. Is that all he wants with you? Let's find out. I think it's worth asking him. I very much think it's worth asking him. We've done this conversation so many times. So many times. So, Jesus, come and help. Jesus, we need your truth. Would today be a day of truth? And would you help us to just keep our hands open to whatever it is that you're doing and to not resist it? Would you help us be brave enough to not resist and to allow you to come and speak truth, even if it feels different and weird and we're not used to it and something else has felt true for X amount of decades, whatever it is. We want you and we want your truth, and help us not get in the way of that, because you do good things. All right, so when it comes to the Bible, this is really important. It's super important for friendship with Jesus stuff is to have this part right, okay? So we talk about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? Et cetera, et cetera. Okay, this matters because you're getting to know Jesus. And so all the things that he tells you, because, you know, you can have conversations with him that aren't chapter and verse. If he tells you which restaurant to go to today, you can't find that in the Bible, right? You're going to have conversations with him that are, gray area sounds weird, but, oh, okay, we're good. You know, where you're going to have conversations with him where it's not like exactly black and white. So because of that, in order to have like the safety net up, you got to know what he does say and have that really, really, really solid. I had Yost take down the whiteboard and I actually did need it now I'm realizing. But normally what I would do is like a dot to dot picture. The more dots you have that are solid points that you know for sure that's there, the more you can tell, okay, if he says something here and all the other dots are going in a heart over here, it's like, huh. That doesn't quite fit with what I do know about him. I'm going to ask somebody about that one because it doesn't, it could be part of the picture, but I'm not totally sure. But if you know it perfectly lines up with all the things that you know he does for sure say, then it's a lot easier to kind of put it in the right context. Okay, he's telling me to move to Africa tomorrow. All right. I think that's what I'm hearing. Now what do we do with this? Let's run it through some tests. The Bible actually talks about that. Testing and discerning what you hear. Right? Because we just talked about it. We have filters. Even if we don't mean to. My goodness, we don't mean to. We're not trying to block him out on purpose. If we are, then that's its own thing. And there are altars open for that. But I mean, but there's other times where we just don't even know that, hey, oh, I'm actually listening to my dad right now. Didn't even think about it. And X right now, I'm actually listening to something I read on Facebook a year ago. Right? I don't even realize that's in my filter. So this is really good to know. Get to know the Bible. He will not say something to you out of context or like that goes against anything that he taught. So the more you know what he did teach, the better you can figure out, okay, this is him, this isn't. Or, hey, this one feels a little bit out there. I'm going to run it by someone. So getting to know the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. Context, okay, who is it for? What was the situation? How does it apply to me? Right, if you get used to doing that more and more and reading the Bible correctly, then you also are safer against you just take one little verse and I'm gonna live my whole life by this and you don't know the surrounding arguments and the surrounding context, right? The more of it you actually know and digest and understand how to read it in a way that makes sense, the better you can like actually refine your theology. And refined theology is a big deal for this friendship stuff too, so that it's safe. Okay, ask Holy Spirit to be with you in your reading. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Again, so if he's telling people, this is what I care about, he still cares about that now. So he's not gonna tell you something different than that. He's not gonna change his mind. You know, actually, because culture is kind of shifting this way, you know, and I'm okay with it. That'd be too strict if I told you that now you can't live with your boyfriend, you know, like that's kind of unrealistic for now. So, you know, and I know this suits you more and you know, with your income and, you know, no, if he cared about it then, he cares about it now. So let's find out what he cared about then, because that gives us our context for now, right? Okay, you guys with me so far? Any questions, comments, concerns? All right. All right, let's keep going. Learn to hear his voice. We just started talking about this too, and you guys have talked about this a few times, but it really is a lifelong thing. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. That's a great summary of what we do. Jesus will never contradict himself. Keep reading and studying the Bible to get your theology right. He won't say something to you today that contradicts what he taught in his time on earth. And learn to hear his voice. It's the same way that you build human friendships. Spend time with him and talk with him often. Okay, accuracy is not the end goal, intimacy is. Here's what I mean by that. The accuracy will come automatically as you grow close to him and get to know him. If you only aim for accuracy, if that is the end goal, here's why that's a problem. A little bit harsh, but James would even say, well, even the demons do that. Anyone can get accuracy. Anyone can learn how to figure out, oh, he says that he loves people. He's saying to you that he loves you. could teach someone that in 3 minutes. That's not the end goal. It's intimacy with him. And through that, you will automatically also be accurate about what he says and what he's telling people and what he cares about. And so that's why, like, when I first learned this, I was very much only thinking about the accuracy of it. And so I kind of stopped there. So I didn't really care much about character development because I don't have to, because I can already accurately prophesy over people. So obviously this works whether or not I trust the Lord. Here's a problem, is that it actually kind of does, right? If you look at 1 Corinthians 13, it says, you know, even if I prophesy, but I have not love. Okay, so it's possible to prophesy without love. Otherwise, there would be no point in bringing it up. Same as, in Matthew, but Jesus says, the disciples say to him, didn't we prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons? And he says, but I never knew you. Okay, it's possible to learn the Jesus things without knowing Jesus well. It's possible. So we're trying not to do that. Because it feels really deceptive. Hey, I just read someone's mail. They were crying the whole time. They were saying stuff like word for word. Yes. Cool. Me and Jesus must be good. It genuinely feels that way. It really does. But he's saying it's possible for that not to be true. Because you can learn the system. You can learn the language. It's like learning a language. So you can just learn how to do it. And you'd think, I mean, it's an interesting system because he could say the second you're out of line, boom, the gift's gone. That would make sense, wouldn't it? Kinda. But he doesn't do that. We get to make choices. And then at the end of it all, then he'll either say, you're a sheep or you're a goat, or well done, good and faithful servant. Or, you know, we also get to pick what we do with our gifts, right? That's a parable, right, of the talents. We have the choice to receive a gift and to not use it the right way. That is an option. Kind of unfortunately, but that's how he lets us decide. And so we get to decide what we do with this. Am I just going to do this accurately because I can and it's fun to see people cry? Sounds weird. But is that what I'm going to do, or am I going to run after a relationship with him and develop relationship with him? And then the fruit of that ends up being that I'm really impactful in people's lives because I'm talking to Jesus all the time. And then he ends up telling me things about them that are super helpful for them and impactful and powerful. You got a question? Okay, just kidding then. We're going to move on. Get your brain out of the way. Quiet the chaotic thoughts. Write it down before you have a chance to second guess. Those are just some like quick, practical, in journaling times. It tends to be that the more that we second guess, the more that our filters have a chance to come back in. Oh, he wouldn't say this about me. That's really nice. Not that we would think that. That's just like the cloud that comes through. It's like if we're journaling and he's about to like really just love on you like crazy, sometimes if you take too much time, you stop and second guess it. And just like, well, he wouldn't say that about me. I mean, look at my day. Look at what I all didn't accomplish today. There's no way he's proud of me today. Like, but again, those words don't form necessarily. It's just the feeling. It's just a thought that kind of clouds over a little bit. And so then we just disregard it. So sometimes it's helpful to kind of trick your brain and say, I'm going to analyze the crap out of this later. Don't worry. I'm just going to pick this apart and disregard most of it. Don't worry. I'll really analyze this because your brain wants to. So say, I'm going to do that later. For now, I'm just going to write. I'm just going to let him pour and pour and pour whatever he wants to. And I have found that I get way more of his heart that way because I'm out of the way. My stuff's out of the way. And then he actually gets to break through. And you go back and read that 2 months later. It's like, oh my gosh, he was speaking because I wasn't. I wasn't getting in the way with, oh, he probably doesn't think that. Oh, he probably doesn't. So again, lifelong journey going on. Stay connected to community. Within your friendship with Jesus, it actually really helps to have other people. Because again, we've talked about this. We have filters. We don't want to, we're not trying to, but we do. And so it's really helpful to have other eyes on just as active participants, right? That you get to say, hey, I'm pretty sure Jesus told me this the other day. And you can run it by people. All right, so we need each other. Ryan just preached on this the other Sunday. The eye cannot say to the ear, I don't need you, right? So that whole passage, it's in 1 Corinthians and Romans. I cannot say to the ear, I don't need you, that whole passage, right? I can't say, well, it's just me and Jesus, we're good. Me and him are good, so therefore I don't really need people stuff to work. That is not how he set it up. And so don't be deceived into, well, me and him are good, therefore all my friendships are falling apart, or I don't really trust people, but we're good. That is not how he designed this to work. And so that is a red flag if you catch those thoughts coming through. Because it works better for the enemy to isolate people. Way easier to get them if you isolate them. And really make them like, hey, I know me and Jesus are good. I'm as healed as I need to be. Those kinds of things. It's way easier. If I was on that side, weird thing to hear from a teacher, I know, but that's how I would do it, is you just get someone to believe that they have no reason to have their guard up at all. You're safe, you're good, you're fine. Your theology is already as perfect as it needs to be. You're so smart, you know everything. You don't need what they're saying. Look at you, you're so good at this. They should really be listening to you. And you keep saying that, and then you can shove whatever theology you want in there, subtly, because there's no room for anyone to say, wait a second, hey, that's taking you off a cliff. Because they can't say that because, well, they just don't get me. They just don't understand me. Me and Jesus, we got this. Right? That's how I would do it, and unfortunately it would work because it works on us because we like to know that we're smarter than everybody, don't we? Jesus heals us through people. That has just happened time and time again. It's so cool to be in this class, to be in a community doing this, because he'll teach you a concept and then he'll teach it to you again by a person actually doing that in your life. It's really different, and it like fulfills the healing even more. Okay, he loves me enough to sacrifice for me. Amazing. I just thank you, thank you, thank you. And then you have a person sacrifice their time or their money or their effort for you, and it just drives that point home way further. And it shows that's real. Wait a second. They were listening to him, and he told them to do that for me? Really? That's what he's like? And it just deepens that so much. I've had that happen so many times, just like where the concept was there, the words were already there, and they were already true, but then I interact with a person. Like, there's individual stuff that happens too in our friendship with him, but that's kind of the point that I'm getting to, is that we want to develop, I guess I could go to the slide that says that, make it personal to you, right? Like, we're aiming for, I have a personal relationship with him, but not an isolated one. That's the balance. Me and him talk all the time, but also I have people in my life that have eyes on this whole thing. If it starts going a little bit weird because the enemy shows up as an angel of light, by the way, right? That's what he will be disguised as, especially for Christians who would be looking for him with his horns and his fangs, right? So then it's like, hey, I'm here to help you. Like, counterfeits will show up. If you don't have people around to kind of help keep eyes on the situation, then you're just subject to as far as you can go within your own mind and brain, which might be, you know, pretty far. But we want to make sure that there's safety in it. Okay, so riding on someone else's coattails may bring you into a relationship with Jesus, but it won't keep you there. Okay, when the rubber hits the road, when tough situations happen, somebody else's faith might not, I mean, maybe, depending on the situation, we need other people's help. But if we have nothing with Jesus, then those storms come, that's a tough time to then develop a relationship with Jesus. The day of the marathon is not the day to start training. So then we have to develop this all the time. All the time, be talking with him, right? Invite him into things that you like to do. Practice the presence of Jesus. Invite him into stuff all the time. Just have him there. Just actively participate. You're making a sandwich. What kind of cheese do you like, Lord? Which one's your favorite? You know, watch a documentary. Hey, what kind of documentaries do you like, Lord? Or do you prefer comedies? Or do you prefer... It gets him involved. And then And then if you start there, I found so many times you start somewhere really lighthearted, and then all of a sudden he's healing something in you from 50 years ago, and it's like, oh, well, how did we get there? Well, you know why? Because your walls were down. Like I did an SOT light teaching 2 Sundays ago. Sometime, that was not today. And the day before I was making desserts for farm to table. So I was just mandolin slicing some pears, and I was just relaxed enough. All of a sudden he was downloading a whole bunch, like the whole teaching came together in that time. And he was just showing me point after point after point because my walls were down. So I'm using a mandolin and just slicing some pears. You know what I mean? So like involve him in all the things. And just again, same with a person, you know, when you find that you're just doing an activity together that you both like, something natural happens where you're just relaxed. If you start every conversation with, okay, what don't you like about me today? What are you so disappointed in me about today? Can we start there? Here's the depths, here's the heaviest stuff that I got. And you find that it's tense. Well, that tension doesn't really help. Yeah, there's moments for those conversations, of course. But if that's the only thing that happens and you don't have like just, hey, what shape do you see in the clouds today? You know, if there's none of that, then we tend to miss out on a part of who he is. And then we get a different picture of him that sometimes what develops out of that actually is that he only wants to talk to us about the things we do wrong. Now that's not true. And so my entire relationship with him is just him correcting me. My entire relationship is just him pointing out the things that he's disappointed in. And we don't go there on purpose or consciously. It just kind of leads to that from one little belief that like, that the only reason he would want to pay attention to me is if I'm doing something bad enough that he has to quickly correct it. So we develop this image of him that's the only reason he would ever pay attention to me, which creates a picture of him that's not true. So why would I involve him in my good days? Why would he care? Why would I tell him what I like? And you can probably like biblically make that work too if you take things out of context, and you can make the Lord disciplines those he loves. Okay, wonderful. He loves me. That's all he wants to do with me is discipline me and tell me what I've done wrong. And that's kind of it. So then why would I talk to him about who I want to marry? The only reason he'll talk, you know, why would I talk to him about my friendships? Why would I talk to him about this trip I want to go on? Why would I even talk to him at all? He'll come and talk to me. He'll come and find me when I'm doing something wrong. Which then develops, this is my identity. And so why, and then all of a sudden it's weird trying to walk in success because I have no identity when I walk in success. Anyway, we're going into like all kinds of other things here. But it all has to do with our beliefs. And so he has to have access into our beliefs, especially the stuff that's so normal we don't second guess it anymore, especially that stuff. That's where it's easiest to tuck things away. Invite him into the things you like to do. Practice the presence of Jesus. Recognize where he's pursuing you and respond. Seek and you will find. If you're looking for him, you're going to find him. And that is completely biblical. There's many places where it talks about when we pursue him, that's when we're going to find him. And we say, okay, I'm paying attention, Lord. And he's done some really interesting things. One time my conditioner wouldn't run out. So random. Really? Conditioner runs out fast. And it wouldn't, and I kept checking, I'm like, why is this still full? This is so weird. And he would do things like that just kind of before he was going to tell me something more important. Conditioner's pretty important, but I mean, it was like more important than that even. Or like give me dreams that then would come true the next day, but there was no significance to them. Just enough that I'm like, wait, are you trying to talk to me? And then he would say the significant thing. He's really, really good at that. But the more you pay attention, the more you'll actually find him. There is a part of this that can be a little bit frustrating at times because we won't fully understand him this side of heaven. We can't. If we did, that'd be terrifying because he'd be way too tiny of a God if we could totally get him. I don't want that being in charge of the whole universe. Thank you very much. Who has flaws? No, thank you. Or who's small enough that like, I get him. I get all of it. I've seen all of him now. Who just says, let there be light, and the sun explodes into existence. Like that's, you know, we're not going to fully get him, but we can get more of him. And we can every day between now and heaven, we can still get more of him and see more of him. And it's just so fascinating and so life-changing that he would reach out to us at all. Like the cross by itself was more than enough, right? We sing that song. That was already significantly more than what we deserve. But then he keeps going. And I've been teaching in level two tomorrow about like more just story time of just really like funny and interesting things that he does. Just in like, hey, just you know I'm here. Hi, what's up? Just lots of that. He's so fascinating and he's so clever and he's funny. Just the other day, I had a mentoring session and right at the beginning, we could hear the train going. You could hear the train. And every time I hear that, what I'm reminded of is when my dad came to visit or my parents came to visit when I had only been here like less than a year. And he asked where the train was, and I said, oh, Oroville doesn't have a train. I was so confident in that. Man, I was just straight up arrogant about it. I've never seen a train here. I don't know what you were hearing, but there's no train. That's what I hear. That memory comes up every single time now when I hear that train, because there is one. Right? So just like super embarrassing. And like, oh, okay. I've apologized to him for that already. But man, I was so confident in it too. Anyway, so I ended up sharing that story with the girl that I was having the session with. And sure enough, the rest of the time, guess what picture he kept using for all of my analogies for her? Trains the whole time. It's like, yeah, thanks. Yeah. Right? Because that's so him. He's hilarious. He did that. Yeah. He does this to me all the time. Just kind of like pokes a little bit of fun at me. And, right? Because he's funny. And just says really interesting things. Like there was one time I was journaling and I was just talking about banana cake or banana bread. And he was saying like, you know, a mocha ganache would go really good with this, by the way. And I said, yeah, totally it would, but I don't have the ingredients for that. So you're gonna have to provide them if that's what you want. The next day they were provided. This is from a little journaling session about banana cake. Right, and it's like, what is going on, right? So it's like you develop that and then all of a sudden you're talking about really painful stuff and you have a foundation with him. I know you better. So I know your heart a little better and it helps develop the trust. The more you just involve him, it can lead to those. If you're not paying attention, we're going to miss so many things, right? Like just that he's just making himself known all the time. He's reaching out, he's making himself known. He's getting to know you, where you're at, what you will be looking for, right? Like stick around for level two and I'll tell you all the stories, but that's my whole thing tomorrow morning about like my favorite number that he talks to me in all the time and how like there was a whole long story behind it, but he always talks to me through the number 47. And one time I was at Mercy Ministries, home for girls with eating disorders and self-harm and anxiety and depression, stuff like that, after I graduated high school. And I was having a really rough day, and I just went and sat in a bathroom stall for a bit, just like live with 14 girls and you need some just like quiet for a bit. Not sure if you guys can relate. And he said, or I was like, man, just where are you? That kind of a question. Just are you in this? Like, are you for me? Just where are you? And he said, count how many squares of toilet paper are left on that roll beside you. So I sit there unrolling, and it was 47. Like, just the most random, like, what? It's just, what? He's just, and like, hey, why don't you count how much change is in your pocket right now? It's 47 cents. Like, all the time. Crazy stuff. And I could tell stories like that for an hour, at least, because it's all the time. And it's been 18 years of that. And yeah, anyway, so that's like, for me, it's changing. It changes my life to have that too. Have your foundation right. Have your theology set. Absolutely. Because otherwise it will turn into, here's a summary of what that can turn into that we want to avoid. Because he loves me, because he's pursuing me, that means he is in favor of what I'm doing. because that is not necessarily true, but it feels true. Because he met me in worship today. Okay, cool, we're good. No one would say exactly this, but it turns into this. That means he approves of everything I do because I manifested in worship today. Or he just spoke a really, someone came and shared a really accurate prophetic word with me that really was about how much God loves me. Okay, that's true and that's wonderful. But if I now change my theology to mean because he loves me, he also is okay with me compromising because he just gets me and I'm just so cute, he can't say no to me. When it starts turning into that, that's the red flag, and that's what you need people around. You need your theology refined. You need a good, strong foundation. So that when he just says, hey, hi, how are you doing? I love you. It's received in context. And it gets to do the work that his love does. Because it will automatically change into, it's going to change your heart. It's going to soften your heart. It's going to break away chains.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Refuse Ordinary. We hope you were encouraged, inspired, and even challenged to seek more of who God is and who you are in Him. If you have any questions about the School of Transformation or would like to apply for our next semester, please go to transformationschool.org or send us an email at info@transformationschool.org. See you next time.